a joyous Christmas. A Christmas that focuses on the real purpose and the real meaning, right? The real meaning of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk about something that you probably don't hear me talk about much, but I want to talk about relaxing. Okay? You want to talk about relaxing. And how many of you realize that Houston has kind of a false image, right? I'm from the north. I've been in Chicago, Minneapolis, places like that. And I'll tell you, you see a lot more suits and ties. But we here in Houston, we're used to warm weather. Well, most of the time, we're certainly not used to snow. Come on. But anyway, we're used to warmer weather. And so we kind of live like we're on vacation all the time. We look like we're a little bit more relaxed. You know, we may even come to church wearing, flip flops and shorts. And so we're kind of a relaxed culture in a way, but actually we're known for being laid back and calm and cool and collected, and yet really I think we're a haven for people who like busyness. We're kind of a haven, Houston is, for go-getters, for workaholics, and for social-aholics too. You know what I'm saying? People who like to be active and do things and always going here and always going there. And it's amazing how busy life can get, right? And when you have the wonders of drive time, how many of you know about drive time, right? You know, I read somewhere that the average Houstonian has about a 45-minute drive one way to work. Do you know what that adds? That adds an incredible 15 hours to a person's schedule. And then during the month of Christmas, you have all the Christmas traffic. I've got a question. How many presents can people buy anyhow that causes all this traffic? Seriously. Seriously. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, this season can add a tremendous amount of, feels like, pressure on people. And some people wind up just running the whole month of December. And we wind up missing the very thing that is supposed to be important to us, right? In fact, there's a significant number of verses that talk about the type of life that we're supposed to live, the attitude that we're supposed to take towards life. And what I know is that we can't do anything about the traffic. How many of you'd like to do something about the traffic, right? We can't do anything about that, but we can do something about the way we live our lives, the values that we have, the attitudes that we have, the way that we approach life. And so I want to just kind of give you today a prescription for pressured people. Is there anybody here who feels any pressure financially? You don't have to raise your hand. You feel a little pressure, in a personal kind of a way? Let me ask you a few questions to see how busy you are. If maybe you're too busy, are you always in a hurry? Did anybody get a speeding ticket in the last 2 weeks? Yeah, I did. Okay. Did you use days to catch up with your unfinished? You use your days off to catch up with unfinished work. Has anyone ever told you to slow down? Is there anybody here who you feel guilty if you're relaxing? Do you have to get sick to take time off? How many of you know you're way too busy when all your Christmas cards come from your business associates, right? When you're in church and you're making out your to-do list for the week, how many of you realize you're actually too busy, right? When your family refers to you as occupant, you're too busy. If you're wrapping presents in the car on your commute to work, you're too busy. If you're taking business-related reading material into the bathroom, you're too busy. I'm going to get you to laugh some way, somehow today, all right? That's not how God wants us to live. So let's look at Psalms 127 and verse number 2. This is a joy, a breath of fresh air, okay? This is what the Word says. It's from the Living Bible. It's kind of a paraphrase. It says, it is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night. God wants His loved ones to get their proper rest. Well, you say, well, I'm burning the candle at both ends, Pastor. Well, maybe you're not as bright as you think you are. You know, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do in life is go home and go to bed. Don't nobody leave, okay, just for a little while yet. And there's a lot of people think that if I sell out to God, if I really give my whole heart and life to God, then it's going to be more than I can really handle. There's going to be so many more things that I have to do. And I don't think that's the case, really, to be honest with you, because the Word of God says this in Psalms 23 and verse number 2. How many of you tracking with me today? The Word says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside quiet waters. Those are images of rest and refreshment. Is there anybody in the house that says, I could use a little rest and refreshment? Those are beautiful images that God gives us here of rest and refreshment. If we were sheep, we would understand that that's really a picture of paradise. And God wants us to live lives that are whole and balanced and complete. He doesn't want us working all the time. He doesn't want us to be stressed out in all of our lives. And what I've discovered, if people really commit their lives to Christ, He's probably not going to add more on. He may remove a few things from your life, but He will cause you to have actually more times of quietness and reflection. And it's interesting that the world longs for rest. A CNN poll recently said that 59% of all Americans would like to slow down and relax more. Another poll said we have 8.5 hours less leisure time than we did just a decade ago. So we're working harder, we're working longer, and we're enjoying it less. And so what I want to give you today is I want to give you an acrostic. It's kind of a prescription for pressured people this Christmas, all right? And it spells the word relax, all right? So that's your assignment for this week. I don't want you to feel stressed. I want you to relax. How many think that's a nice thing, right? Okay, R. First of all, we've got to realize our worth. Realize my worth. The reason why many people overwork, overdo, and overcommit is because they confuse their work with their worth. We think that a whole lot of activity, if we achieve a lot, and if we're busy all the time with our social commitments and all of these different things, we think that's what gives us worth. We get our worth mixed up with our... Excuse me, we confuse what we do with who we are. And how many of you realize that in America, we get our primary identity from what we do, right? You meet somebody, what's the first thing you say? Is what is your name? They give you your name, and you generally, particularly for men in the world, we say, well, what is it that you do? What is it? You see what I'm saying? It's because it's our primary identity. And the Bible doesn't teach that. And what happens is that during the holiday season, sometimes moms and dads and people add a whole nother layer of work to their schedule, and they think that that's what gives them worth. And the Bible doesn't tell us that that's even necessary. And so the Bible tells us that we have worth regardless of what our work is, right? Many of us grew up with little phrases running around in our minds. Like, you know, you're a nobody, or maybe a former teacher told you that, or a former friend, or a brother or a sister. Maybe someone said you're never going to amount to much, or maybe kind of like me, you just have this internal drive that you just feel like you got to do something and be productive in life. And so you work and you work, and you're saying to yourself all the time, I'll show them, I'm going to prove my value, I'm going to, by my what I do, by my accomplishments, by my achievements, and yet... You just never feel like you can achieve enough. And some people are hearing a little voice in their head saying, you've got to keep on paddling, and the house has to be perfect, and your kids have to be perfect, and you know, you have this overflowing calendar, and you never ever slow down because you've got to prove to the world somehow that you're successful, that you have value, and that you have worth. Listen, I've got some really good news for you today. You have value, period. Amen. Tell your neighbor today, you have value, period. Let me read to you James chapter 1 and verse 18 in the New Contemporary Version. This is an encouraging thing, all right? It says this, God decided to give us life through the word of truth so that we might be the most important of all things He made. Wow. You know what God just told us there? He says, you matter more than all the rest of creation. That's what He said. You matter the most. You can relax. You don't have to prove your worth. I'm me and I'm okay, because God doesn't make any junk, right? And if you are made by God, everybody that was made by God, raise your hand. That's all of us, right? You have worth. And if God saw enough value in you that He gave His only Son to die upon a cross for you, amen, that means that you have worth. He redeemed you because you have value. And is there anybody who's ever said to the Lord, Lord, I just want to be with You for a while today, and all of a sudden you felt His presence? Let me tell you something. If God loves you enough that He'll send you His presence, I'm here today to tell you that that shows that you have value to God. You have worth. Amen. And if you really understood that, it would change your life. Because if God likes me and I like me, if you don't like me, well, guess what? That's your problem. Come on, somebody, say amen, right? You don't have to spend your whole life trying to gain the approval of other people. Who cares if your boss is a, you know, well, you know what I'm saying, right? You don't need the approval of people to be happy. You don't realize how valuable you are to God. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? How incredible is that? That God even sees when a bird falls to the ground and He takes care of all those birds. How many of you think He's going to take care of us as well? Come on. Can we give the Lord, our provider, a great big hand today? Amen. Amen. There's two important facts you've got to get down today. You will never understand how much God loves you here on earth, right? You'll never grasp that. It's difficult to grasp the depth and the height and the breadth of the love of Almighty God. And the second thing is this, that there is nothing that you will ever do in life that will make God love you more than He already does. Oh, that's good news. God's love for you isn't based upon your performance. It's based upon who He is. Come on. You don't have to prove your worth by perfectionism. God says you're okay. Now, many years ago, wow, it's going to be 40 years next July. 40 years ago when I was on my honeymoon. Boy, I sound really old, don't I? I am, by the way. I carved into a birch tree three words. I love Jereen. I carved that into a birch tree. I've actually got the little piece that they cut the tree down, and my father-in-law saved it for me, and I've got it in my office in there. But let me tell you what God did. The scripture tells us this in Isaiah. He says, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands. Amen. God wrote your name in His hands. He put a symbol of His love for you in His hands when He went to the cross and He died upon the cross. Now, I love Jereen, but I don't want a nail in the hand, hello, in order to prove my love for her. But that's what the Lord did for us. Come on. We don't have to prove our value to God. God loves us, period. We need to get back to that. The very fact that God loves us, we're going to be with Him forever. We're going to live in heaven with Him forever. Come Come on, somebody. You are accepted in the beloved. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, God's shown you how much you're worth and how much He loves you. Amen. So realize your worth. Amen. And then E, enjoy what I already have. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13 says all of us should enjoy what we have worked for. It is God's gift. Amen. I'm determined to be content and happy with what I have. Amen. Do you have kids? How many of you have kids? Amen. Amen. I need the next slide up there, mister. Okay, the next slide. Amen. He's gone. He'll be back in a minute. Amen. All of us should enjoy what we have, for it's God's gift. If you have kids, enjoy them, right? If you have grandkids, enjoy them, right? If you have a car like my car and it has 107,000 miles, be content with it. Amen. Enjoy it. Get you where you need to go. Amen. How many people get so busy trying to acquire more that they don't ever stop to enjoy the things that they actually do have? Come on. We get so busy that we don't enjoy what we actually have obtained. We have these beautiful homes, but nobody enjoys them because we're always working. Or we set up beautiful Christmas decorations and never take a moment to enjoy them. We get into this syndrome of the desire to acquire. And you know, if you watch people on Facebook, you realize that everybody's life is out there. And some people, if you kind of follow them, it just looks like they're running from one thing to the next, and there's always the selfie, and they're always over here, they're always doing this. And you know, if you're not careful, what can happen to you is if you see everybody out doing all these things, pretty soon it makes you feel like you're getting left out of the loop, right? And so we try to do things that we can't afford, and we buy things with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. Amen. Right? We spend all of it. And by the way, can I just say this to every parent here? Don't go into debt for Christmas. That's really good advice, I'm telling you. Don't do it. Don't do it. I used to torture my kids. I mean, just in a good way. Not physically. They would probably tell you it was emotional torture. But every year, I mean, I had this cute little video of Little House on the Prairie. How many of you remember Little House? Who's watched Little House? Wave at me. You know who Half Pint is and Laura. It's set back in the old time days out on the family farm and everything, out on the frontier. And Laura and Half Pint are out there, and it's Christmas time. This was an hour-long special video, and a great big blizzard blows. And what's the neighbor? Charles, I'm the guy with the big beard. I can't remember his name. But anyway, it looks like kind of like Steve Grizzly Adam type of guy. He comes through the wilderness, and for Christmas, he brings Laura and Half Pint. He brings them an orange and a peppermint stick. I used to make my kids watch that every year. And when they get to where they got that orange and peppermint stick, I would say, look at their kids. They were happy they got that. Come on. Look at how happy they were that they had a peppermint stick, a candy cane for Christmas. Now go look in your room and see all the toys you've got. Go in the closet and see all the stuff you've got. Come on, somebody. We've got to get appreciative of the things that God has given us. Amen. Amen. God wants us to live with contentment. There's a great verse in Ecclesiastes that says, it's better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. The greatest thing in life are not things. As a pastor, you know, on occasion I'm called to be, you know, visit people who are approaching the end of life. And I've never, ever heard anybody ever say, I just wish I had worked more hours. If I had just put in more overtime, I would have been happy. No one's ever said that at the end of life. They've never said, I just wish I could have got the shed painted. It's the one regret in my life. My backyard shed, I didn't paint it, and now it needs painting. They don't say those kind of things. You want to know what they say? They say, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids. I wish I'd served the Lord more. I wish I had been there more with my family, with my wife. Oh, come on, somebody. Let's get the things important that are important. Amen. Stuff is not important. Your family's what's important. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Just saying. You can't take it with you. And in American culture, we have this idea that it's a tragedy if somebody dies penniless. How many of you ever heard that? It's a tragedy if they die penniless. I say, man, that's really living. Come on. That's the best. You talk about timing. Seriously, you write out your last check and then you die. Come on. Being of sound mind, I spent it all. No, let me tell you, don't worry about stuff so much. Worry about the important things of life, which are family, which are friends, which is having a little bit of fun. How many of you know it's okay to have fun? Tell your neighbor you need to have some fun today. Come on. You need to enjoy a little today. Amen. And then L, limit my labor. Limit my labor. I've got to make a conscious decision to make time for things besides work. And I don't mean just at work. I mean at home as well. Come on. Sometimes you got to just decide what's important in life, right? Especially in the holiday season. You know, my wife used to make about 20 different kinds of Christmas cookies. I'd gain 20 different pounds, too. Hello, over a six-week period eating all that up. I'm so glad we haven't done that for a few years. And I used to decorate the outside of my house. But let me tell you what, I just decided one year, I'm all done with that. I'm all done with ladders and hanging lights, you know. Because let me tell you, you say, Pastor, you're just saying bah, humbug. No, sir, I'd rather spend the day with my children and with my wife than out there putting up Christmas decorations. I know you don't get this everywhere, but that's just how I feel. Amen. Amen. And we need to realistically decide how many hours we're going to spend in labor and working. And let me tell you, I think that the holidays are a time to limit our labor. Come on. Not add more labor to it. Limit our labor. And it's really important, I tell you, especially if you're self-employed. You know, you just seem like you're always working so hard. And you know, the boss may offer you overtime. If you don't really need it, don't take it. Come on. And it's so important that we limit our labor. Those who are single parents, I'll tell you, they're the real heroes. Come on. Come on. Can we give a big hand for single parents? I mean, whether your kids are grown up or not, let me tell you, if you're a single parent, you deserve honor, you know. And so, let me just give you a little phrase. Our best requires rest. I don't know about you, but I want to hit the new year running. Amen. I'm not talking about being lazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about taking a little season during the holidays to get some rest and relaxation. Okay, y'all can work if you want to. That's all right. Y'all just go ahead. Slave away. Put up 2,005 million lights on your house. Keep busy every single day, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, it's New Year's. Oh, now I got to take it all down. Enjoy. Let me tell you what I've said it for years. The best day of the year. You want to know what the best day of the year is for me? Seriously, I take whoever's with around that day. I'll take you, buy you a steak and dinner and lunch. I'm so happy. It's the day when all the Christmas decorations are back up in the attic, both in my house and at the church. That's a really good day. Come on, somebody. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 15 tells us this. We're talking about limiting our labor. Only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. Oh, if you work all the time, that's crazy, right? Yeah, you got to unstring a bow, you know, the bow will lose its power. A lady called a pastor one Monday, and one day she was upset. She called him on Tuesday morning. She said, "I've been trying to call the church and get a hold of you all day long." And the pastor says, "Well, Monday is my day off." And the lady responded back, and she says, "Well, the devil never takes a day off." And the pastor said, "Yeah, and if I didn't take a day off, I'd be just like the devil." Sharp pastor. Exodus chapter 20 tells us this. It says, "You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is to be a day of rest dedicated to me." God says that, and it's important. One day off every week is the rule. That's the fourth commandment. It's in the Big Ten, right? It's so important that God put it up there with don't commit adultery and don't murder. That's how serious God takes rest and relaxation. Every seventh day, you've got to take a day off. If not, it means you're breaking the Ten Commandments. Why? It's for your benefit, right? How many of you know it's for your benefit? The Bible calls it Sabbath. And Sabbath basically just means a day of rest. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus said that the Sabbath was made to benefit man. Right? Colossians says, it doesn't really matter what day you choose to worship on or choose to rest on, as long as you do it once a week, right? Now, there are some people who try to make a big doctrine out of what day you're supposed to worship on. But listen, the Bible teaches us, let me just say this, that Christians worship on the first day of the week because that's the day when Jesus was resurrected, right? Amen. And so it's a principle of life. And so many people, they work on such a little, they live their life on such a short margin that if they do have one day a week that they're supposed to rest, they actually never do it because they're busy running errands and doing this and doing that. Am I right? I'm preaching good today. I know I'm telling the truth, right? And so they work so hard. You say, well, what are you supposed to do on the Sabbath? What are you supposed to do on that one day of rest? You're supposed to rest your body. Rest my body. If you don't take time to rest your body will make time to rest itself. Either in the hospital or with a cold or a flu, our best requires rest. During the French Revolution, they actually outlawed Sunday as a day of rest. They said, no, nobody gets Sunday off. Everybody works. But within a few years, they had to reinstate it, not for religious reasons, but because the health of the nation was actually failing. The nation had collapsed. They were all burnt out. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel guilty when you relax? Why? Jesus didn't. You want to know what he said? Come apart and rest a while. Those were the words of Jesus. Let me ask you, are you busier than Jesus? Is what you're doing, is that more important than what Jesus did? Hey, I don't think so. Let me teach you how to be a saint. Let me give you another acrostic. Sunday afternoon is nap time. Rest your body on Sunday. And then recharge your emotions. I don't know what recharges you. Everybody has a different thing that recharges their emotions. Some people need quietness. Others need recreation. Some need some football. Some need to play some golf. Some need to go for a walk. You know, relationships for me are what actually, you know, causes me to get recharged emotionally, being with my family. My wife gets recharged emotionally by watching old Lucille Ball shows. I personally, if I'm going to watch TV, something's got to be blowing up. Do I got any guys in the house? Come on. There needs to be some fast cars running around doing, but she just, I can hear her laughing and laughing at Andy Griffith, and she enjoys that. And then you need to refocus our spirit, refocus your spirit. The Bible calls that worship. How many of you know when you come to the house of God on a Sunday, it's not to make the pastor feel good. Although, like the little poem goes, the preacher does better when you were there. It's hard to preach to an empty chair. Amen. Anyway, it's for you. Worship brings things into perspective. When you come into church with a big problem, guess what? You'll leave realizing there's a bigger God than is bigger than your problem. Come on. It gives you understanding. And did you know that they've actually proved that people that live their life going to church one day a week actually live 5.7 years longer? Y'all don't believe me, do you? Okay. It's all right. You know why they live longer? It's because they're able to decompress. They're able to let things go. They're able to release things. It's good for them. Amen. And maybe they go home and eat some roast and then take a nap. Amen. Amen. But how interesting that in our culture today, when the stress starts building, when activities become quicker and faster, you know what's the first thing to get cut out many times is our service to God and our worship to God. How many of you know that's the last thing that should go? Come on. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the encouragement today. Amen. I said, if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Amen. Amen. If I miss my time with God, one day, the first day I know it. The second day my wife knows it. By the third day my family knows it. Hello. We need to spend our time with God. And then we've got to adjust our values. Adjust my values. In order to reduce busyness in my life, I've got to change my thinking about what's important. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 4 says, I've learned why people work so hard to succeed. It's because they envy the things that their neighbors have. Oh, wow. I tell you, the older I get, the less I value my stuff. Is there anybody that agrees to that? I mean, seriously, I'm 58 and stuff doesn't mean much to me. Something to me are the people that I have in my life. It's my wife. It's my kids. It's my church family. It's people that I love. It's my friends. Come on. I'm just telling you that we've got to make time for the important things in life, like a walk with your sweetheart. Come on. Man, you guys need to get a little romance in your soul, you married couples. I'm just telling you. Go to dinner with a friend. When's the last time you just threw your head back and laughed? Amen. Mark 8:36 says this, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his own soul? How we often work for the things that really have no value at all in our life, and we let go of the important things. I'm just trying to challenge you today to adjust your values, to think through of what's the important thing in your life. Is it really that important that the house is absolutely spotless, that every single dish is done, that the lawn looks flawless, that the leaf that just fell off the tree 5 minutes ago is raked up? Who cares? Let the leaves fall off and rake them all up at once. I'm just trying to help you today. Adjust your values. Be with friends and family and loved ones. Oh, you can tell I'm missing my wife today, can't you? I'm just telling you. Amen. And then X, exchange my pressure for God's peace. That gets at the very root of your stress. There's three kinds of fatigue. There's physical fatigue, very tired muscles, right? You can replenish that pretty quickly, just a day and a couple of nights rest, and you're feeling a little better. Then there's emotional fatigue, right? Tired emotions, feelings, that's a little bit deeper. And then there's spiritual fatigue, a dry spirit, and that is really the deepest type of fatigue. And you may need a vacation, but I'll tell you, a vacation isn't going to help the last two, am I right? You need more time, you need more than just time off to be able to recharge your emotions and refocus your spirit. What we all need is a relationship with Almighty God. You could take a nice 2-week vacation to Tahiti. If you come back, guess what? You're still going to feel the same pressure that before you left. But let me tell you something. If you get with God and you get in God's Word and you let Him readjust the values and the priorities of your life, amen. I mean, it could change your life. Amen. Amen. And that's a good thing. How many of you parents remember when they had to put the kids down and they didn't want to rest? Anybody have a kid that was that way? They're like, I am not going to sleep. But you've been awake for 14 hours. You've been crying for 2 hours. And I know you need sleep, kid. But you're fighting it and you're resisting it. And you're saying, I will not rest. And the kid is bawling and squalling and crying. And you're trying to get him to please go to sleep so I can get some rest. Do I got any moms in the house that can relate to that? I just need 10 minutes of sleep. Just go to sleep. You know what that tells us? It tells us really that resistance to rest is a mark of immaturity. You want to know what maturity is? It's when you say, just let me alone. I'm going to sit here in my recliner and sleep a little bit. Amen. Oh, well. It's important. What I'm trying to teach today is part of living a Christian life. Psalms 32 and verse number 2 says, He makes me lie down. I'm about to end here in just a moment. So it says this, He makes me lie down. That's a forcing, am I right? He made me do it. Has God ever made you to lie down? Is there anybody that can relate to that? He cares about you, and you matter to Him, and you need God to be the pace setter of your life. I'm going to close today with a paraphrase of Psalms 23, all right? It's not the true version of Psalms 23. It's somebody's paraphrase of it. And it's interesting. It says this, and this is the attitude I want you to have as you leave this place today. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest at intervals. He provides me with images of stillness to restore my serenity. He leads me in the way of efficiency to calmness of mind, and this guidance is peace. Even though I have many great things to accomplish this day, I will not fret, for His presence is here. Do I have anyone to receive that? Amen. His timeliness, His all importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshments and renewal in the midst of my activity, anointing my head with the oil of tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows. I don't think y'all are getting this. I preached about rest so long, y'all are just chilling. If y'all need to go to sleep, you can just lay down on the pew. Seriously, it's okay. My daddy was a pastor for many years. He said, you know, if you see people sleeping in church, it's okay. They need their rest. My joy, cup of joyous energy overflows. You know something? Actually, if you live your life based on that harmony of 6 days of work and one day of rest, you will have more energy. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours, for I shall walk in the pace of my Lord and dwell in His heaven forever. Amen. You need a pace setter to set the pace of your life. There's an email that's went around for years. You probably read it by now. It simply says this. It's one of those little emails with a cute saying inside of it. And it says, hello, this is from God. Today, you don't have to worry about anything. I'm giving you the day off. I'll take care of everything. All you need to do is just rest and relax. I've got this. How many of you think you need an email from the Lord like that? I certainly do from time to time. I need the Lord to just say, hey, listen, man, don't worry about it. Don't stress out about it. It's going to be all right. I've got this. That's the Lord that you and I serve. Well, you say, Pastor, you don't get it. They're after my money. Okay, that's okay. God's got it, okay? You say, the enemy's after my children. Let me tell you something. Don't worry. God's got this. He's got it. We can trust in Him. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Thank you so much for just letting me share today. Amen. God is faithful and God is good. And God wants for you to approach this season with peace. A peaceful Christmas. A restful Christmas. A relaxing Christmas. Let me tell you, when the family arrives, they'll find somebody with serenity in their heart. Amen. When you get to grandma's house or wherever you go, you'll arrive and your peace will walk in with you, right? Right? Because you've got it together because you know the Lord. He's given us His peace. It's a gift that He gives. It's a gift that He gives. Amen. Amen. Here's what we're going to do today.